Hello, and welcome to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman.
Hello, and welcome to the Autodidactic Podcast, Season 3, Episode 1. If you're a new listener, welcome aboard, and if you're a returning listener, welcome back. In Season 1, I covered a lot of the methods regarding how to be an autodidactic, and in Season 2, I covered autodidactics of the past and some of the methods that they used for self-learning. This season, I'm going to try something a little bit different. This season, I'm going to do a series called My De-Stupidification. Why? Well, over the years, I've started to become more dependent on my phone or computer to remember dates and phone numbers and other things. And in addition, it's been almost 40 years since I left high school, and the number of things that I was taught there have changed. For example, there are no longer 9 planets in the solar system. While I've kept myself busy learning new things related to my career or other interests, I really haven't kept up to date with general knowledge, and the smartphone has allowed my memory to deteriorate. So this season, I thought it might be useful to use all of the techniques for self-learning that I've covered in Season 1 and 2, and de-stupidify myself, and show how to use these techniques in action. However, since a lot of the techniques require some elements that are best shown visually, I've decided to show what I'm doing on my YouTube channel. Therefore, each week on the Autodidactic Podcast, I'm going to cover the creation of lesson plans, the creation of self-quizzes, the methods that I'm using to learn. I'm going to show how to find resources for learning, etc. And then on my YouTube channel, I'm going to review at the end of each week how well I did and show visually what it was I was doing. So the idea is, for example, episode 3 of the Autodidactic Podcast will be published at the same time as the video that shows the methods I discussed in episode 2 and the results. I'm hoping that listeners will be able to get value from seeing how I'm using the methods which I have discussed in season 1 and 2 in the real world. So to make this a little bit more challenging, I've decided that all of the resources I use should be free and legal. So that means I'm going to be getting resources off the internet or from the public library, etc. And I want to show that it's possible to do self-directed, self-learning with very little investment. So in this week's Autodidactic Podcast, the aim of the first podcast of the season is to 1. Discuss how to go about listing objectives. 2. Discuss determining goals related to the objectives. 3. Talk about how to break down the objectives into manageable chunks and do a gap analysis of them. 4. Discuss how I'll go about finding my resources. 5. Discuss how I will track my activities. 6. Look at the constraints that I have. And 7. Determine how I determine which methods to use, like memorization or information gathering. So it's a lot of things to cover, but it shouldn't be a problem. And then next week, you'll be able to see the results of this discussion and see if what I planned to do came about, or if I had to make changes because of various obstacles. Let's start with listing my objectives. What is it I plan to learn, and how deeply into a subject do I wish to go? If you listen to episode 11 of season 1, I cover the creation of a study plan, and I go into great detail about why determining what you want to learn and how deeply you want to learn it is critical for the creation of a study plan. The first thing you need to do is determine why it is that you want to learn this skill or gain this new knowledge. And then you want to be really clear about what it is you plan to do with this skill or knowledge. It's also a good time to determine how much you already know about the subject and where you need to fill in the gaps of your knowledge. So this initial assessment should tell you what it is you want to get out of this self-directed learning, what level do you want to achieve once the learning is over with, what areas do you need to cover in order to gain the level of knowledge you require for what you want to do. So during this period, I will be listing the knowledge that I want to gain, how much of it I need, and what I know and where the gaps are. And after I've generated a list, determine how deeply I need to delve into the subject to get to the level I want. So, for example, one thing on the list I might want to have complete mastery. For another thing, just superficial knowledge. These goals will help to inform the search for research materials. If I'm only looking to gain superficial knowledge of a subject, then there's no need to try and find a dozen different resources. One or two will be more than sufficient. It will also allow me to break down the goals into smaller chunks. For example, a goal like learning maths really isn't good enough, so I need to make sure it's well defined, and I need to break it down into smaller units. So let's take algebra as an example. I might want to break algebra down into solving basic equations and inequalities, then evaluating functions, then graphing functions, quadratic equations and functions, polynomial expressions, equations and functions. So after having completed this exercise, I then have the ability to do a gap analysis of my knowledge. And it could be as simple as highlighting the various topics with red, amber, green colors to show how much or how little I know, a sort of a stoplight approach. Or it could be more elaborate with scoring from 0 to 100%. It really doesn't matter at the moment, but it's just a way to classify your knowledge so you can prepare for gathering resources and other evaluations. Then at this point of each, I should know for each topic and subtopic how much depth I want to go into the topic and some type of score related to how well I already know the topic. So this allows me to determine the level of resources that I need. Let's go back to the algebra example. If I scored solving basic equations and inequalities as green, meaning I already know a lot about it and I don't plan to go deeply into the subject, then I only need a textbook or a couple video tutorials. If I scored quadratic equations and functions as red, meaning I know almost nothing about it, but I want to become an expert and go deeply into it, then I'll need a lot more resources. Perhaps two or more textbooks, a tutor, a large number of video tutorials, etc. I will also during this time period determine what methods I'm going to use to gain this knowledge. So if I can learn everything from watching a couple videos, then that would be the only actions I would do. If it's multiple textbooks, videos, tutors, etc., then I need to think about it and write that down. At this point, or perhaps concurrently while thinking about all of the above, I will create an action spreadsheet with three workbooks. And the workbooks will be labeled today, this week, this month. And here, I just open the spreadsheet, or a bit of paper will do, and begin to list out the things I need to do as actions when they occur to me. So this might be such things as find an open source textbook, find a tutor, and then basically developing the actions and the resources I'm going to need to reach my goal. But rather than just dump them into one big long to-do list, I organize them by when I plan to do them while I'm thinking about it. So in the spreadsheet, I put all of the actions in while I'm thinking about it. For example, I might put in order textbook from library into the today workbook. I might put another action called hire tutor into the next week's workbook, etc. This action spreadsheet will become core to my study plan, and it will be a living document that I update daily. So while studying, for example, I might run into a reference to another resource that I want to find. So in the action spreadsheet, I might put an entry for tracking down this resource. So this spreadsheet is difficult to describe, and it's one of the reasons I'm also doing video updates on my channel. I think it's a lot easier to understand what I mean when you've seen one in action. And this is even more important for the study plan spreadsheet. Then I need to look at the constraints that I have. The two biggest, as usual, are time and money. The one constraint I mentioned earlier is that I'm not planning to spend any money, but only use free and legal resources. Another constraint is time. I only have an hour or two per day to study, and I want to complete this by the end of my third season podcast. So I only have 13 weeks. This tells me I'll have between 90 and 180 hours of study time, and it'll have to be divided up between all of the subjects. There are a number of ways to use this information, but if I were to just have a rule of thumb that any subject I marked as green, meaning I already know a lot about it, will only get 5 hours spent on it. Or I might start by saying I'll spend 50% of my time on red subjects, i.e. the things I don't know anything about, 40% on amber, things I kinda know something about, and 10% on green, where I know quite a bit about it. But regardless of how it's done, it is worth creating a budget for both the time and money. So you've determined how much time you have, so in my example I have 13 weeks and between 90 and 180 hours. I would take this and allot it against subjects. So for example, if I wanted to spend 50% of my time on red items, the things I don't know, well, 50% is 45 to 90 hours, and I have 10 things in this category, so I can give each one of them 5 to 10 minutes a day? Well, that doesn't sound like a lot of time to go deeply into a subject. But over the course of 13 weeks, it does add up to 15 hours. But I might prefer to study the topic longer, so I might decide to give each topic an hour every 10 days, or maybe 30 minutes every 5 days. I might decide that I'm spread too thin and decide to reduce the number of topics or give 60% of the time to red topics. It's up to me, but this is a way to work out what it is you need and against your constraints. So you can use these time budgets to sanity check your plans, and it allows you to cut back on the number of topics or increase the frequency of study or reduce the depth you may want to go into for a particular topic. After you've budgeted your time and money and leveled out any other constraints, you can increase your accuracy of your study plan as you go along. For example, you may have downloaded a textbook for one of the free online distributors and you want to start studying. You look at your constraints column for this topic, and let's assume one of the constraints is time. You had scheduled 20 minutes a day for this topic. So with that in mind, you open the textbook, do a swift evaluation of how long you think it'll take you to do each chapter, generate questions, take notes related to the chapter, etc., and then determine how many chapters or what percentage of a chapter you can get done in the time constraint you have. And then you map this into your study plan schedule. You may determine that you can complete the entire textbook within a month if you do one chapter every 2 study periods. So you schedule that in. And having this in your schedule allows you not to get overbooked, and it also means you don't spend time worrying about what you're going to study next, because it's already in there when you sit down to study. So that's the basic strategy I'll be using to start planning out my study for the next 13 weeks. Now, prior to the podcast, I had a couple days to determine what it is I think I want to learn. And the list I came up with was basically memorize all my immediate family phone numbers, birthdays, license plate numbers of their cars. I want to learn all the new information in the English Baccalaureate or GCSE given to English high school students in 2020, which I don't already know because of my career. So, for example, I would ignore computing. I want to learn how to play a musical instrument. So those are some of the things that I want to learn, and I'm going to spend a bit of time and work through my goals and objectives, and hopefully you'll be able to see the results next week on my YouTube channel. I will post the links to the YouTube channel on the Autodidactic website and in the transcription of this podcast. Transcriptions and the links for this podcast are all located at https://autodidactic.info. If you have any comments or suggestions regarding the series or any of the previous series, you can contact me at rick@autodidactic.info. Thank you for listening, and I hope to see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider giving a donation via PayPal. Thank you very much, and see you again next time.